meeting to come here. So we appreciate. And he just came into the country a few days ago also. So thank you. I appreciate him. I appreciate him. It's good. Praise God. Hey, it's good to be here in Life Class 2021. Hallelujah. You guys are going to make me one promise. So next year, it has to be bigger than this. Agreed? Yes, sir. The people on this side are not answering. Yes, sir. Because the kind of things we are hearing, all the youths all over this nation should hear it. Am I correct?
Yes, sir.
You know, because with all the bad things they are saying about Nigeria and all that, there are still a few people making the country proud globally. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? One more of that. Somebody like Williams is one of those kind of people that is known all over the world. Because if we are not careful, we'll just make the world paint the narrative, choose the narrative for us, that Nigeria is just a horrible place. That's not true. That's not true. In some of those countries they are talking about, there are some mad people in those places too. It's just that the good people are louder than the mad people. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Just some days ago, they still shot in one school or somewhere in America. Young people still shoot themselves. You know, we were complaining about our own bullying. If they do worse there, let's not get it twisted. Because some people think, this country is over, I'm going to travel. Travel. They are madder. There, they shoot. They shoot. People enter school with gun and shoot people. Innocent people say, not somebody that offended them. In our own self, we hit people that offend people. Here, you can be innocent and somebody just come and is angry with life. And it's on your body, he wants to... Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So I'm glad when I see young people making an impact, helping paint the story of our country to be great. And I decree over you, you'll be one of those people.
Amen.
But just like William said, the issue is that why do you want to be one of those kind of people? What will you do with that platform and with that opportunity that God will give you? Praise God. Did you enjoy Ovie? Where is he? Praise God. That was great. Well done. Great job. What's the name of the song? The Glory Song. Your fans are plenty. They even know the name more than you. The Glory Song. Well done. I'm very proud of you. We're proud of you. Very proud of you. And I'll talk about him as I go on. Let me read one scripture. I'll spend like 20 minutes. My own is not really a main session. Today, I came to enjoy the speakers. So I enjoyed William so much. I wish he had more time to go on. Proverbs chapter 30. I'll just share a bit. Then we'll invite Pastor Dan to come and be a blessing. Hallelujah. Have we done body? We've not danced now. Should it be soul, spirit, soul, and body? Williams has given us the one for our soul. Pastor Dan is going to give us our spirit. Where is the body? Eh? We will still dance or we have danced? We have danced. That's in line with the dance. I think we should still dance. After Pastor Danny, if there's time, we'll still dance. Our body still has energy. Just like William said again, some of us, we are getting older. The biggest thing you have, the biggest advantage you have over those ahead of you is that you have time. That's the biggest advantage you have. You have what?
Time.
But the problem with having something in excess is that when you have it in excess, you usually don't value it. Are you here, somebody? You usually don't value it. My prayer for you is that you will get to the stage where you value time. Listen, you can be anything you want to be. Are you here, somebody? You can be what? Anything you want to be. I don't know who is ahead of you. You have no business envying or worrying about people that have gone ahead of you. You have no business saying, look at this fine car, this fine house. You can actually do and be anything you want to do and be, because you have the most important resource in this earth, and that is time. And the beauty about time is that you can convert it into anything you want. If you want to be a doctor, all you need is time. Somebody get what I'm saying? That's all. If you want to be a lawyer, all you need is what?
Time.
If you want to be an expert in any field, all you need is what?
Time.
That's the biggest resource. For most of us that are married and have children, we don't have time. We are not only getting older, but we also have too many things already jostling for our time. We have our wife, we have children, we have this, we have that, we have work. Many of you right now, the gift God has given you is the gift of time. So the question is, how are you using the time? Use it well. Let me use my 20 minutes to share quickly seven things that I think young adults should know about relationship. I know most of you are young, but you're at the stage where you should, in fact, you're already thinking about love and romance. So my own is to quickly address that a bit. Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to read from verse 18. Proverbs 30, verse 18. It says, there be three things which are too wonderful for me. He said, yea, four things which I know not. They are saying, look, and this was Solomon, is the wisest man that ever lived. You know that, incredibly wise. But he said, there are three things that are wonderful for me. He said, four, which I don't understand. He said, number one, the way of an eagle in what? In the air. An eagle is an incredible bird. Flies very high. And most other birds run away from the storm. An eagle goes against the storm. An eagle can soar. That means it can reach a stage where it doesn't need to flap. It just spreads its wing and it stays on the air. He said, the way of an eagle in the air, I can't understand. It's too wonderful for me. He said, the second thing is that the way of a serpent upon what? A rock. Serpent doesn't have legs, a snake. But the way it moves upon the rock conveniently. He said, I don't understand it. The third one, he said, the way of a sheep in the midst of the sea. Do you know how heavy? The normal law of flotation is that when anything heavy lands on water, it does what? Sinks. But how on earth? Please, I need water, guys. How on earth does something as heavy as a ship stay on water and does not sink? Solomon said, it is too wonderful for me. But I like the last one, which is where I'm going. It says, or the way of a man with what? I can't hear you. What's the last one? I still can't hear you. What's the last one? Simply saying, he's saying, on that thing I don't understand is the way relationships either happen or go. Solomon said, I don't understand it. The way relationships form. This is King Solomon. And he was mentioning things that were too wonderful for him, and he added relationships to it. There are seven things I want to tell you quickly before I call up the next speaker. Number one, these are things as a young adult you should start to think about or know. Number one, most young adults don't know the right time to learn about relationships. Not knowing the right time to learn about relationships. Not knowing what? The right time to. When is the right time to learn about relationships? When is the right time to learn about relationships? The answer is now. Most young people want to start relationships before they learn about relationships. They want to learn by experience. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Many times when we're young, they started as a negative quote, a bad quote. They say experience is the best teacher. Have you heard that before? Have you had experience the best teacher before? It was reading during my own time when I was young. That's what everybody was saying. The experience is the best teacher. Listen, experience is not the best teacher. Example is the best teacher. Are you here, somebody? You don't have to experience something to have sense. Who wants to experience being hit by a car? To know what it means to look left and right before you cross. Experience is not the best teacher. Example. Exposition, which is teaching, is the best teacher. Experience can be, who wants to experience a broken relationship to know what heartbreak is like? You want to experience beating? To know. Who wants to experience thief stealing your phone to know what being careful is about? Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Experience is not the best teacher. Example is the best teacher. Exposition is the best teacher. What am I saying? This is the time to learn about relationships. You don't have to first start relationships to learn. You can learn to avoid trouble. My wife was the first person I ever dated as a Christian. In fact, as an adult. In fact, all my life, real relationship that I ever had, my wife is the only one. You don't have to have many. You don't have to kiss many frogs to find your prince. Are you here, somebody? Very important. You don't have to do abortion to find out the reasons why you must stay sexually pure. You don't have to have HIV to know the reason why it's good to abstain till you marry. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Experience is not the best teacher. You don't have to make many mistakes. You don't have to have heartbreak. Listen, because every relationship experience you have impacts your life. There are some people now, they are punishing their next for the crimes of their ex. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are punishing their next for what? The crimes of... Because the last person you dated was a big liar. The next person you will date, you will doubt everything they say. Every experience has an imprint in your life. So you have to be careful. You don't have to, have these negative experiences. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Satan knows this, but young people don't know it. So he exposes you to certain things that now affect your life in the future. The biggest lie Satan will tell young people is that it doesn't matter. Whatever I'm doing now doesn't matter. It's a big lie. Everything we do in life matters. Hey, can somebody understand what I'm saying? Every single thing you do in life does what? Matter. If he can expose you to certain character traits, it will affect your behavior tomorrow. If he can expose you to illicit sexual conduct, it will affect your life tomorrow. Everything matters. You can make up your mind to stay sexually pure till you marry. You can make up your mind that the first person you ever kiss will be your husband and it will be on the wedding day. You can make up your mind. It will favor you. I'm a counselor. I've done this for about 25 years. And many times when I counsel married people, all their problems started from when they were single. I'm yet to meet a married person that the problem started in marriage. All of them, the problem started when they were single. I met a lady. Her problem is that she has been married for about 7 years. She has not had sex once with her husband. Not once. In 7 years. She has a child. Look, I know you. I have to make you be interested. I said she has not had a child. She has not had sex for 7 years, but she has a child. Wait for her. Went for her husband. Yes. What happened? She got married as a virgin. Now the issue is this. Like I said, the best time to start learning about relationship is now. It's not even enough to just say I'm going to marry a virgin. That's not enough. That's good. It's a very good thing. But just because you're a virgin doesn't excuse you from learning about relationship. You can be a virgin and still go and marry nonsense. Hey, somebody don't get what I'm saying. Because this girl I'm talking about was a virgin. In fact, technically, she's still a virgin. Even though she's 7 years married with a child. So being a virgin is great, but learning about marriage is great too. Because many young people think if I'm a virgin, that's all. God will give me an award. That because I'm a virgin, they will just bring one fine, good, godly, handsome man. Dorime. No, Dorime. As a virgin, we award you a good man. A godly man. It doesn't... Praise God. It doesn't happen like that, though. Just because you're a good boy, a good girl, doesn't excuse you from learning. It's the same thing with money. You can be a good person. It doesn't mean you'll be rich. You can be the brokest good person in your whole village. And people will be saying it, nah, good man. But you'll be broke. And just like William is saying, listen, our world doesn't respect anything other than results. Hey. This world, nobody respects intention. Nobody respects good intention. They only respect good results. This is why you need to understand why you need to succeed. You are succeeding when you get the attention of the world. The question he was asking you is that what are you going to now tell them when you get their attention with your success? What are you going to say? You see, the main people that have clout, followership on social media or even in life, they have nothing to say. No message. Are you here, somebody? No message. How do you have 10 million followers? You have no message. Where are they following you to? Both the follower and the follower. Don't know where they are all going. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So this girl married as a virgin. Only problem is that she married a man that the kind of sex he likes is that BDSM or is it BDSM they call it? Eh? BD, is it BDSM or BSDM? Eh? BDSM. How do you know it as a young child? You don't know it's a trap I'm setting for you. You are reading too much. Okay, so, but basically, it's those kind of sex that they will choke your neck, they will flog you, they will match you. Eh, it's that type of sex. She's a virgin. She went to marry a man that's what he's looking for. Now, the question is, where did that man get that appetite? He was trying out things he had no business trying out. They say experience is the best teacher. There are some experience you will never recover from. It will scatter your life forever. There are some experience you will never what? Recover from. So, she married that kind of man. The man can't have normal sex. Only if he doesn't punch you, he can't. After many years of them not having sex, her doctor advised her, maybe you should try and see if you can do it. She tried. The first day she tried, the beating. She ran out. She can't. The beating she experienced. So many years after, she had to go and do artificial insemination to have a child. That's how she had a child. They've still not had sex till today. I'm just trying to show you that whatever you go through is going to shape you. So you can't, the best time to learn about relationships is now. You can't do it by try your luck. Start to learn. How many good books, how many good videos are you reading or watching about relationships? Don't start from your own experience. It's too risky. You might never recover from that experience. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hey, some young girls started the experience of sex, but they got pregnant at 16. Their life never remained the same. When you get pregnant at 16, at 17, at 18, your life, even at 21, and you're not married, your life will never be the same. Because something is going to happen. If you abort the child, your life still will not be the same. If you have the child, your life still will not be the same. You see, one of the biggest things adults learn, and it surprises children when they become adults, is that no action is without consequence. It shocks children. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? It shocks what? Children. There's a, you know, you know the popular story of the Sylvester guy that died in school? I'm sure those boys that killed him, for them, they were having fun. They were just doing bullying in school. They are seeing how big one small thing they were doing in their school is becoming. One of the things that shock children when they become adults is to know that no action is without consequence. If you marry wrong, you are not only punishing yourself. Because whenever you, if you choose a husband for yourself, you're also choosing a father for your children. If you choose a wife for yourself, you're choosing a mother for your children. So, by your one mistake, many generations will suffer. I don't know if somebody's getting what I'm saying. Many generations will suffer because of who you marry. This is why you can't marry anybody you see. You must start to learn now what are the qualities to look out for in a man or a woman that is worthy of marriage. Start to learn it now. What are the qualities me I need to have to also marry the kind of person I want? We always say that the kind of person you are praying for, are you the kind of person that the kind of person you are praying for is praying for? Did you understand that? Because young people can just dream. Say, I want to marry a handsome man. I want to, he must be tall. By the way, you guess, what are you using tall to do? Williams, you know that in most list of young girls, what they want in a husband, tall comes before God-fearing. He must be tall. Then later, okay, put God-fearing there somewhere. What, have you seen any marriage survive because of tall? Say, you have married for 20 years successfully. What's the secret? Say, it's the height. This is my husband's height. It's what's making it work. And if all of you want tall, who will marry the people that are not tall? And most people that are not tall, they might be physically not tall, but they're spiritually and mentally. They're usually giants. Are you hearing somebody? For young boys, they want fair. She must be fair. Have you seen any marriage work for 40 years? They say, oh God, what's the secret of your success in marriage? They say, ah! This woman's complexion is helping us. What are the qualities you should look out for? Start to know them, both for a spouse and also for you, the person looking for a spouse. Because same way you want to work in a good company, you want to work in Apple, you want to work in Google, you want to work in mobile, those people too, they have criteria of who they want to work there. The way life works, until our purposes and dreams join together, we can never relate. Two cannot work together except they agreed. Is somebody getting it? So as you are writing your own long list, make sure you are also the kind of person that person we want to marry. So number one, young people not knowing the time to start learning about relationships. When is the best time to start learning about relationships? So make it a duty. Go and read a book. For this year is over. Read one book on relationships. Or watch a solid video on relationship. Do it this week. Start to learn. You are always ahead of your mate if you learn. Number two, what young people don't know. Not knowing the right time to start relationships. Not knowing what? I can't hear you. Not knowing what? What's the first one I said? Some people are not answering. You're angry? What's the first one? Not knowing the right time to learn about relationships. What's the second one? Not knowing the right time to start relationships. When should I start relationships? When I am ready to marry. Except you are ready to marry, don't start. Nobody boils rice. And you ask him, you want it? He said, no. I just the boil and check my gas. You see the way you are laughing? That's how it sounds funny when you are not thinking of marriage, but you are thinking of relationship. The purpose of those relationships is to prepare you or take you to marriage. It's not just for the fun of it. Don't start what you can't finish. Don't boil rice if you don't want to eat your love. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Not knowing the right time to start relationships. Some people date for 5 years. Are you studying law? Yeah, dating for 5 years. Your mates have graduated degree in engineering. They've even done masters. You own what you are doing for 5 solid years. See, relationships are expensive. Nobody goes to buy something they don't need. Especially if it's expensive. You just go to the shop and say, give me 2 speakers. Say, you want to do a party? No. Do you want to set up a studio? No. Why are you buying it? Nothing. Nobody wastes money like that. So relationships are expensive. You are wasting your emotion, your time, your money. The time you'd have used to achieve other things. You are investing it in something that is going nowhere. The best time to start a relationship is when you are ready to marry. I have a book titled, When Am I Ready? I explained how to be ready there. Because readiness is not by age. You can be 42 and not be ready. Somebody else can be 22 and be very ready. The point is that, are you ready to marry? If I'm ready to marry, no need to start. The reason why we have people that are doing long courtship, long dating, is because they were not ready when they started. I had a friend that dated for 10 years. I'm not joking, 10 solid years. And they didn't marry the person. It's not a story. It's somebody I know personally. It's a friend of mine. 10 years. After the first 10 years, he started another relationship for another 10 years. I kid you not. Not a joke. Real life story. 20 years. 2 different people. And still is not married till today. Yes. And see, I don't even have a problem with him because he seems to know what he's doing. Because there's consistency in his life somewhere. So I don't worry about him. I'm bothered about the ladies that is keeping for 10 years block. Those are the ones that don't know what they are doing. Because they entered there not knowing what they were entering in. So before you start, I have a book titled 7 Questions Wise Women Ask. As a young girl, if somebody says, I want to marry you, I want to date you, say, ask him when. When? Because is it 10 years time? Do you know the amount of things that can change in your life in 5 years? Ask anybody really working with God. 5 years, where you start is not where you see yourself. A lot of things can happen. That's why you can't commit too early. Especially when you're not sure where you're going. Don't make a commitment to anybody. Just remain friends till you are ready to marry and make sure you start it with somebody that is also ready to marry. Any dating or relationship that is going to go more than 1 year, 2 years, it's a waste of, we're not ready. Let's just go and be serving God. When we're ready, we'll come back. A lot can happen in your life in 5 years. Don't tie yourself down. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? And what you know now is different from what you will know in 5 years' time. Do you know why many marriages fail? People enter it when they had not fully formed. Marriage is like watching one channel, even though there are many channels available. Let's use DSTV as an example. I don't know how many channels DSTV has now, but I'm sure it'll be up to 100 or 50 or 60. I don't know how many. But let's just say 60. DSTV has 60 channels, for instance. And marriage is like you're going to pick one that you're going to watch for the rest of your life. If you make that choice when you are 10 and under, you will choose Cartoon Network. Am I correct? And at that time, you are very real that this is a very good channel. You are not lying. You are saying, look, I will watch it. They say, are you sure? It's like my son. Telling my son now that he's 5, 6 years old that he will one day want to watch CNN. He will say, you don't even know me. Put this Cartoon Network, we die. He will be very sure. He will be very sure this is all he will ever need. By the time he's 10 and above, he'll find out that his taste has changed. This is why you can't choose too early. If you choose when you are still undergoing a process of transformation, whatever you are choosing will not be permanent. This is why people divorce. Statistically, the younger you marry, the more likely the marriage will not work. This statistically, I'm not making it up, it's real. People that marry in their early 20s or 19, their marriages are very endangered. Many don't make it, and the ones that make it is very troublesome because they married who they didn't want to marry because they didn't know. The reason you are married, see, when you fall in love under 20, you fall in love because of the person's hairstyle. When you fall in love after 30, you fall in love because of their lifestyle. When I came in here and I saw all the guys with their hairstyle, I told one guy that came with me, I said, it seems only me and you that have normal hairstyle here. Everybody has dread, spike, and I like it. It's good. Trust me, I'm not angry. I'm just saying, look, that is great, but that's not what it takes to run a home. That is great. I love those hairstyles. I wish I could do it. So you can fall in love because of their hairstyle, but you will actually stay married because of their lifestyle. If you make a permanent decision at a temporary stage of your life, it will be a wrong decision. If you choose now that you are still undergoing so much change, some of you, the changes you will still face are so radical. You can't make a permanent decision right now of who you are going to spend the rest of your life with. The rest of your life is a very long time. Are you here, somebody? So, by the time you're 10 and above, which channels will you choose? You no more like Cartoon Network. Either you like Nickelodeon Junior. What else is good for people that are 10 and above? Disney. Your taste will change. By the time you hit 20 and above, what will happen to your taste? Change again. What will you like to watch? Different things, right? By the time you are 30 and above, guess what? Your needs again will what? Change. So don't make that decision too early. Praise God. Number three, I have to move quickly. What's the first one? Some of you are not writing. That's why you can't remember all. You must always come with the writing material. It's a class. This is called life class. Number one is what? When is the right time to learn about relationships? Number two is what? When is the right time to start a relationship? When you're ready to marry. By being ready to marry, that means you are ready to take responsibility. You can't be using pocket money your parents gave you to date somebody. You are still a boy. The Bible said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother. Not a boy. A boy can't leave his father and mother because the boy needs the father and the mother. It's a man that is ready to leave father and mother. You are using pocket money to take a girl out. My brother, I can't use it to invest in your own life. You're not ready yet. Because love is never enough. He said, but we love each other. Woo! Love has never kept any marriage. Love has never what? Kept any marriage. I kid you not. There's nowhere the Bible says you marry who you love. It only says you love who you marry. There's nowhere the Bible says you marry who you love. I've never seen any marriage fail because of love. It always fails because of real things. Like rent, real things like school fees, real things like hunger. Are you here, somebody? Real things like faithfulness, character. Those are the real things that young people should look out for, not love. Anybody can love anything. If you are sincere, there are things you have loved so much some years ago that you can't even stand now. Am I correct? Love never holds anything. When I was young, I loved meat pie. Don't laugh, it's a serious matter. It's a serious matter. Because everybody in my neighborhood, they were buying meat pie for their kids. My dad was buying roasted corn. Because my dad grew in the village. So even though he was in the city, he still loved village things. So when other people, their parents come back from work, you will see UAC bag, you will see Mr. Biggs. My dad will come with newspaper. William thought. Old newspaper. Roasted corn. And those days, I don't know why the corn were just so hard. I don't know if it was my teeth that was soft or the corn was hard. You could even, not like today's roasted corn that we eat that we even enjoy. Or hard corn. So I was just saying, when I make it, I'll buy meat pie. Today, I can't even stand meat pie. Are you here, somebody? That's what happens when you think love is enough. Love is never enough. Are you here, somebody? Real stuff. Number three. What number am I in? Three, not knowing the right way to start a relationship. Not knowing the right way. There is a right way to do relationships. There is what? A right way. Everything has a process. Have you ever heard people say, there are no rules to these things? What work for one might not work for other. Have you heard it before? That nobody knows how this thing work. What work for one might not. Have you ever seen a successful person say that? It's failures that say it. Successful people know that there is a way to make something work. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Have you seen a student, first class student, say, nobody know how this thing work. Just be feeling anything you like. God know. Have you seen it before? A first class student can tell you how to get first class. And he has certain behaviors, certain characters that differentiates him from the rest of the class. He does assignment. How many of you know in class, you know those that know assignment and those that will never know it? You know this people? I used to sit at the back. At the back, we are not even aware there was assignment. I'm telling you. All this while you're sitting at the back like that, see them? You're not aware there's assignment. But those in front usually do what? They know. My daughter came home one day. We're asking them, where is your, did you give you homework? So they gave the others homework. They didn't give her homework. So she said, where's your homework? She said, they didn't give us homework. And she said, but she asked the teacher. Because my daughter, I'm asking, is one of those ethical kind of people. She likes book. So she asked the teacher, that is there any homework? And she said, no. And man, saying, don't do that next time. When I was young, I used to abuse people that used to ask. You know those kind of students? When lecturer is going, they say, excuse me, sir. You didn't make our homework. Say, what concern you? Leave the man. The poor man is suffering. You're asking him questions. We are the ones always praying that he will forget to mark the assignment. Are you here, somebody? But there are always those annoying students that wear glasses, that sit in front. Lecturer is saying, okay, see you next week. Go and kill everybody. He says, excuse me, sir. You have not marked. And we didn't do it. You say, which kind of person it is? I can never forget the day our math teacher was flogging everybody in class. You know, math teachers are always wicked. And I don't know why. What concerned the two? Why can't you teach math in a loving way? With the love of God in your heart. I didn't used to go to class when I was in senior secondary school. I was a bad boy, so I didn't used to go to class. And this is why you need to understand why God is so important. I was a very bad boy. I used to carry pistol from secondary school. I used to go to brothels from secondary school, smoke weed from secondary school. I was a very bad boy. So I didn't used to go to class. But I like chess. You see, there's no useless person. I don't care who you are. You are not useless. There are gifts you have. And our desire here is that you will surrender that gift to God. Let God show you how far that gift can go. I thought I was doing the right thing the way I was living. But all the gifts I had, they were supposed to do something better. So I didn't used to go to class. Bad boys, smoking and drinking. So one day, but I like chess because I like calculative strategic thinking. So I like chess. I was very good at chess. As a young child, very good at chess. I used to play two or three people at the same time. Two or three boards. Because one person was too small at that time. Secondary school boys, they couldn't play me. I used to play adults. And I read books on chess. So I was very good. So one day, our math teacher came to dormitory. And you know, bad boys, once a teacher is coming to dormitory, even if you don't know what they are coming for, you generally run. Because you have too many offenses. So we all ran. So when the teacher came, he wasn't looking for us, but he just saw chessboard. And nobody there. He said, who are those playing chess? They say, it's Kingsley. He said, which Kingsley? They say, it's the Konko. He said, that one that doesn't come to class. Because he's a master. He believes that for you to know chess, you must know maths. He said, he can't be Kingsley. They say, Kingsley is our champion. They say, he can't be Kingsley. He doesn't come to class, doesn't know book. They say, he's the champion. He said, go and call him. So they came to come where I was hiding that. The man is saying, looking for who is playing chess. Ah, when I hear chess, I came out. He sat down in dormitory. Let's play chess. First one, 4 or 5 moves. I'd won him. Psh. Ah! He said, play on that one. Pam, pam, pam. I beat him. Ah! He said, come and see me in staff room tomorrow. So every day or every other day, when students close from class and are coming home with their book, me, I'm leaving dormitory after class, going to staff room with my chessboard to go and flog your math teacher. He flogged you in class. Me, I'm going to flog him after class. I didn't attend lecture. I didn't go for classes. So I'm going after class. So one day, I normally sometimes I go to class towards the end of class to go and play, not for studies. To you know, just to go from class to class, gist. So one day, I normally monitor periods. So I look for the free period in each set, in each class. So that's where I am and gist. That's what I came for. I didn't come there for school. So one day I mistakenly overstayed in my class. And the next period was mass. And that particular class, only one door. Some other classes had back door. Where if you're a lecturer, enter for teacher, you go. Yeah, but this particular class, only one door is front door. And teacher and mass teacher entered. So I was stuck in class. And guess what the guy was doing? And this is the same person I used to beat him chess. He said, today is marking assignment. And it was flogging. And you know, mass teachers are wicked. So he was checking step by step. People that passed, sit down. People that failed, he will flog you according to how many you failed. You know how they do it? Serious flogging. Serious one. I don't even have note. So it's not, I'm not aware of the assignment we are talking about. That's when I knew that the gift of a man makes room for you. As he was flogging, he came to where I was. He just passed to the next person. He just acted as if he didn't see me. And after the classes that day, he just signaled me, let's go and play chess. I say, yeah, I'm coming. Huh? In this life, it's not only book you need. It's not only book you need to make it. Your gift can make room for you. Find what you are good at. It will open doors for you. Are you here, somebody? All right, I know the Olodos will be happy about that. Number what am I in? The right way to do relationships. That's number three, right? Not knowing the right way. So there's a right way to do relationships. How do you do it? Number one, you start from friendship. Build friendship. If friendship can survive, relationship can survive. Many people try to build relationship, then find friendship. No, find friendship first. Don't look for a spouse and make them your friend. Look amongst your friends and make one your spouse. For you to achieve friendship, two of you must already have many things in common. That's what makes marriage stand. So start from friendship. Don't be in a hurry to say, I love you, I love you, I love you. There's plenty of time for love. Friendship is the solid foundation that you must build. I don't have time to waste. But there's the right procedure. Look for friendship. Get counseling. If you're a young person, get counseling. You see, when you are in love, they say love is blind. Love can close your eyes. But when there are other people that are not in love, they can see practical things you can't see. They can ask you practical questions. Number one, next one. Number four, not knowing the right way to prepare for marriage. Not knowing the right way to prepare for marriage. There's a right way to prepare for marriage. See, the way to prepare for marriage is not to read marriage books. I'll say that again. Many people think the best way to prepare for marriage is just to be reading only marriage books or watching only marriage videos. That's not the way to prepare for marriage. You prepare for marriage by reading financial books. You prepare for marriage by reading spiritual books. You prepare for marriage by reading workbooks. Because your single years are not a period you are waiting to marry. Your single years are a period you are using to prepare for life. Marriage is not one part of life. The whole thing goes together. No matter how much you are in love, if both of you are broke, landlord won't collect love. So how will you pay rent? I just tell landlord we love each other. Sir, we are in love. Or you go and tell the principal of your children's school that we're in love. Love is not school fees. Love is not house rent. So the best way to prepare for marriage is to prepare for life. What financially, how ready are you? Can you pay your own bills? What do you know about money? Are you always broke, begging and borrowing? Anybody always broke, begging and borrowing cannot marry. Because one of the major things in marriage is financial management. You're a young girl here. You can't cook. You can't say, we are 21st century women. Women nowadays work in bank. Thank you. Your children will eat naira notes. Williams, they asked one young wife, new wife, she was under 1 year in marriage. They said, what was your biggest surprise in marriage? He said, my biggest surprise was that I have to be cooking every day. She's surprised she has to cook every day. I said, so all these children running up and down, you think it's energizer battery? Energizer battery is what they are using. Think it's charger, we charge them. They are eating every day, and as they run like that one lap, the food has gone. They have to eat again. That's the reality. So if you can't take care, you live with your parents now or with an auntie, you can't take care of kids, you can't carry children, you can't help children, and you want to marry? It's not love that we use to train children. It's energy, skill. Say, but I'm a 21st century woman. See, as a lady, God attached food to you. In case you're wondering who should be in charge of the home, nature had made that decision long ago, before civilization started. They attached what? Food to you. It's not detachable. You can't say, I'm busy, honey. Take this one, be breastfeeding the baby. God says, you I trust. It's not a demotion, it's a promotion. Because the world will make you feel like, you two can be a man. Listen, as a woman, never try to be a man. You are already better than a man. Already better. You are only demoting yourself when you are trying to be like a man. You are demoting yourself. You are generally more gifted. Scientifically, I don't have time to go into that today, but scientifically, women hear better, think better, smell better, talk better than men. Scientifically proven. I'm not making it up. So God looked at the two genders and said, who can I trust with the next generation? And he chose you. That's why he gave you a womb and gave you breast. So you can't say you don't care about domestic things. You're already gifted with food. They package food in you. They attach it. The first food that baby will need for the first 1 year is attached to you. You're asking if you should learn how to cook. After this one, I've run out. Guess who the baby will be looking at? It's you. Then you'll be speaking this English. That I'm a modern woman. I'm a modern woman. There's a reason God made you that way. It's the world confusing people today. A man's body is about 10 times stronger than a woman's own. I mean texture, not physical strength. I mean texture. His skin is 10 times, because he is a hustler. You were created, your body is soft, because to carry children, to hug children, you need a soft body. Nature has already told you that. If you don't believe in God, at least nature has told you that. A woman is gifted with the ability to multitask. A man is not. Scientifically proven, they found out that men can look straight and see straight. Only issues that they can only see one place at a time. Women, on the other hand, because you were gifted and equipped and given the responsibility of taking care of more than one person, you're also given the gift to multitask. So you can take care of yourself and somebody else. Most men cannot do that. Most men can only take care of themselves. One track mind. But you can take care of yourself and take care of another person. If you leave a man with three children, by the time you come back, he can't find two. You say, how many children did you leave with me again when you were going out? I'm not sure. Count again. But a woman with ease will take care of more than one thing at the same time. She's equipped to do so. Scientifically also, they found out that the way a man can look straight and see well, but a man can't see sight. A woman, on the other hand, can see sight. Most women, as you grow, when you marry, you know what I'm saying. That's why if you're gossiping with a man, he has to look completely. Say, see that guy on that side. The man wants to turn like this. He said, don't turn! I'm gossiping with you, you want to turn? Don't look at him! Because in the world of women, they gossip like that without looking. Somebody said, they are scoping this guy here, but they're looking straight. Say, see that guy? He just looked me since. Because scientifically, you were given the grace, to your ability to look like that. Because if you're thinking of 3-4 children, you must have the ability to see all around you. On the other hand, the man is a hunter. He needs the ability to be able to look at a goal and a target and go for it. Many guys think they're the one that sighted or scoped a girl. It was the girl that scoped you. She had seen you long before you saw her. Now she waka go where you dey. So you're telling your guys, I just get one babe. No, now she gets you. Are you here, somebody? No time. Number what am I in? 5. What was this point I was making? Not knowing what? Not knowing how to prepare. So, you prepare. There are 7 areas of development. My time is already up. There are 7 areas of development in a human being. So, there's spiritual, there's mental, there's financial, and all. There are 7 in number. The point is that you don't prepare for marriage just by reading marriage books. You don't prepare for marriage just by attending marriage seminar, which is, marriage seminar is important, but that's not how you prepare for marriage. You prepare for marriage by learning about life, learning about finances, learning about social skills, emotional intelligence, financial skills, domestic skills, character, moral skills. Because if you can't be faithful to yourself, you can't be faithful to God, you can't be faithful to a human being. You learn service. Let me end with this one. Number what am I in? I'll end with the next. I'm going to number five, Abby. Let me end with that. Let me end with that. Not knowing what to do, what to be doing now. Not knowing what to be doing now. Young adults, what should you be doing now with your life? Number one, do ministry. Ministry means service. Williams talked about that a lot today. Ministry means what? Say it again. Ministry means what? Ovie, come. The reason why... Where's Ovie? He has gone out. Today I'm looking for him. Oh, God save you. Clap away. I thought you were clapping. What should you be doing now? Serve or service. See, serving prepares you for marriage like no other thing. That's why you can't be in Transform Nation or Davis Army, whatever fellowship you belong to. You can't be in those meetings and not be doing something. Tell your generals, tell your leaders they must give you work. Service prepares you for marriage like nothing else. Young girls are wasting their way looking at picture, doing makeup. All those things are not important to marriage. Young boys are looking for how to have six-pack. No hard-working person. I'm not talking about entertainers or gym instructor or fitness instructor. I mean, you have on that job other than entertainment. No one. You can't find anybody with six-pack. No hard-working banker that comes home 10 p.m. at night has six-pack. Nobody. Only entertainers and gym instructors. And for them, that's work. The six-pack you are seeing is work. It's not for play. They are selling it. That's why they go to concert and open their shirt. Ah! It's market, it's work. In Nigeria, what we have is one pack. Amusement pack. Are you here, somebody? Getting six-pack is one thing. Maintaining it, Inko. Nobody is having six-pack. So, service. When you join departments, you are learning service. You saw the people that sang, Ovi and his team that sang. Yes, thank you guys. Clap for yourselves. Yes. Was it today on this stage that you both, all of you sang the song for the first time? You have been doing what? Rehearsing. There are some of those days of rehearsal you won't be in the mood. You are learning how, that's what marriage is. In marriage, there are many times you won't be in the mood. You always be in the mood to cook. You always be in the mood to even have sex. I know you are young now. Many people think, if I'm married like this, I'll finish myself. At all. At that time, sex will be work. Are you here, somebody? As you are serving, you are learning. You join ushering. They will tell you from home that no matter the problem you have in life, when you get here to do ushering or meeters and greeters, you do what? Smile. Forget all your problem and smile. That's maturity. You are learning that just because you're having a bad day doesn't mean you must give everybody a bad attitude. That's maturity. You are learning. Say, smile, you have problem, oh. Your rent is due, oh. But you are meeting and greet, usher, you smile. And there's always those people in church that if you point right, they must go left. They come from home with their intention today to annoy the usher. That's their vision. If you say, sit down, they stand up. If they stand up, they sit down. The moment you tell the person, go right, the person will go left, you still continue to smile. In your mind, I say, see this idiot. But you continue to smile because you are learning to control your attitude in spite of what's going on. Are you here, somebody? You join choir. They come like two or three times on other days before the real day just to prepare to sing for 5 minutes or 10 minutes. But the rehearsal involved. I know because I joined choir by mistake. When I was a young Christian, because I served Satan so much, I told God that, look, when I become born again, anything they ask for, that they need people for in church, I'll volunteer. So they started, we need traffic people, I join. I couldn't drive, but I join. They said, we need people to pack equipment, I join. I can pack this drum into one set, because they told us how to put it inside, I join. They need people to do prayer and evangelism, I join. Follow up, I join everything they could do. That prayer I went to was a mistake. Because then I wasn't even praying in tongues then. I was praying in English. And if you pray in English, you know what it means to pray with people that pray in tongues. They have supernatural grace. You are praying natural grace. And it was in Makurdi. In Makurdi, they have time. You know, in Lagos, there's no time. In Makurdi, if you stop bus will leave the restaurant and drive into your doorway to pick you. And there are passengers inside, or they will bring the passengers to your house and pick you. In Lagos, the bus doesn't stop going or coming. You enter in motion. You come down in motion. No time. But in Makurdi, there's time. So in those prayer meetings, 2 hours is preparation, warm up. For the prayer, 2 hours of prayer, magadadadadada. It's 2 hours to prepare to start the prayer meeting. They finish me. So I now also joined choir. I had choir notes, but I was always those in the back. You know, there are always people in the back in choir. They don't give them mic for their own good. They just back up and dance and they sing, but nobody's hearing them. They're singing to themselves. So I joined choir. Like I said, everything they need in God's house, I volunteer. So one time they said the praise and worship leader is not coming today. Who will lead? You know, I've promised I'll volunteer for anything God asks for. They gave me a mic Sunday morning. Nobody warned me that in praise and worship, you don't start with your highest song. You start with the slower songs. Let the momentum be building so that the groove will be good. No, nobody told me. I started with my glory song from beginning. Praise the Lord. Oh, see, goes, hey! They were dancing. Hey, today. Nobody told me that you can't start from there. So after we did it, you know, every song have lifespan. After a while, the song started dying. I didn't want to break, don't break. It, no way to resurrect. It's going to die. So by the time the song died, I said, your hand! Da, 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 your hand! Da, 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 your hand! That's when I knew that these choir people, every time they're saying your hand, it's not your hand they're after. They are catching their breath. They are thinking of the next song that they have forgotten. That's when I knew their secrets. Your hand! They were clapping. Your hand! After a while, everybody knew that this your hand don't pass. Your hand matter. Your hand! After a while, they were not answering me again. I say your hand! They said, no way. We're tired. You can't kill us or our mother. The your hand come, don't tire everybody. No next song. Then somebody from the audience, in those days, people from the audience used to help. The boy, they will just throw song for you. So somebody now raise one chorus from the back. Only problem is that the person doesn't know that the song you raise need to match the beat. He just threw the song, he no go with the beat. But if you're in front, you know you must continue dancing and smiling. So I was not dancing like a white person. You know, white people, they bring their dance from home. It doesn't matter what you want to play in your music. They have their dance they brought. Are you here, somebody? What should I be doing now? Service. What should I be doing now? Finding God. Really intimacy with God. Because guess what? When you're about to make that decision on who to marry, you will need to hear God. Many people come at me and say, Pastor, John and Jonathan are proposing to me. Who should I marry? I don't even know you. How can I know John and Jonathan? But there's somebody that knows. You should have been building a relationship with him before the time. It's not when it comes to hearing God about marriage that is the first time you want to hear God. It's too dangerous. You should have been hearing God ahead of time. I heard God about the school to go to and the cost to study. So it was easy to trust God to tell me other things in my life. Have you ever been led by the Spirit of God? Have you ever heard God before? Are you here, somebody? Is somebody getting this? Build intimacy with God. What else should I be doing now? Find your purpose. What are you passionate about? Find it and start working in it. What should I be doing now? Find yourself. Find yourself. There's so much about your life. There's so much about you that you have not discovered yet. What should I be doing now? Lastly, find discipline. You can't make it in life without discipline, guys. Find character. Are you here, somebody? And that's why I like this guy. He has been serving when he was a small boy. He was always in the choir playing drums, playing. So he didn't start with glory song. Somebody will see him now with this hairstyle and these jeans and say, this is what I want to be. You? Not overnight, it's over time. It's not overnight, it is what? Over time. He was playing drums there. And he's still serving till today in church. Even though he's on his way to blowing globally. Are you here, somebody? So that is how it starts. right now where you are, what are you doing? Somebody get what I'm saying? So these are a few things as a young adult. There are seven, but I can't finish because of time, that you should know. And I pray for you that you won't miss it in the name of Jesus. God will use your gift. He will use your ability to bring glory to his name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Were you blessed this evening? Come on, give the Lord a big hand.